各位兄弟姐妹早。
Good morning, brothers and sisters in the Lord.
天不怕，地不怕，只怕闽南人讲官话还是普通话。
I don't fear anything. We fear hearing Amoy people speaking Mandarin.
我今天特别要用普通话来跟大家来分享。
I'd like to use Mandarin today.
Yeah. 因为我知道大部分你们在这里是从国内来的。
I know majority of you from China.
我很惭愧，江南中学毕业的时候，我爸爸说不要学中文，你只要学英文，因为中文没有用。
It's sad when I graduated from Hope Christian years ago, my dad says, "Don't study Chinese. English is more important."
后来我到了美国，我妈妈写信给我，她是用中文写，我妈妈是老师，然后我要用英文写给她，我们两个人不能够交通。
When I was in the U.S., my mom wrote letters to me in Chinese, and I only wrote back to her in English, so we cannot communicate well.
所以我妈妈就骂我爸爸，你看这个就是她的结果。
So my mom scolded my dad. This is your result.
但是感谢主，这几年来我在美国，在加州，前十年的时候本来是在麻州，后来到了加州有机会在教会里面，在中国社区里面来学习中文。
This year, thank God, in America, I've been lots of places in the churches and even in the community. I learned to pick up my Mandarin again.
归功不但是给我们的主。
It's all by God's glory.
要给我的太太。
And also, I have my wife. It's part of the reason.
我到了在美国了才懂得学做中国人。
When I was in America, that's when I started becoming a Chinese.
吃中国菜。
Eat Chinese food.
讲中国话。
Speak Chinese words.
所以我很感谢我太太，今天她不在，她是从台湾过去，她已经在台湾。但是我保证你，二月十四号情人节的时候，我要飞去台湾。
But I assure you, on Valentine's Day, I will be in Taiwan with her.
今天我是在 UCLA 美国加州的大学里面的，我们有一个团契。里面都是国内大部分的几乎全部都是知识分子，在这个加州大学医学院里面做研究生、做医生，很多人都在那里。所以我们有个团体，有很多从国内的人来。
I have attended. I've been attending a fellowship in San Francisco, LA, and this fellowship is full of the intellectuals and professors and all kinds of well learned people.
其中一个人现在很电脑很懂的哇，他很懂得这个怎么分析基因的问题。
One of them is a very genius in good computer, and he could even analyze the genes.
他有一次做见证，他说他花了一年。要了解但以理里面有个意象，就是那个树木那
One of these genius in computer, he know how to decipher the genes or using computer. He said he used 1 year to study the numbers, the vision that Daniel was writing in the book of Daniel. He used 1 year to decipher the meaning.
我大受感动。
It touched me.
我说这个人追求的心，真有追求的心。他对但以理这么有兴趣的，我也应当像他这样有心来学习。
I was touched and said, this person devotes so much time, interest in studying Daniel. How much more me? I should also be studying the book of Daniel.
我要告诉大家，如果你有这种心意，不断是要学习。还是为主做工的话，你要相信你祷告是要怎么祷告。
I tell you, if you have this devotion like this person, you have to learn how to pray.
如果你像我说，主啊，你用我，主给我忙死了。
If you pray to the Lord, Lord use me, God will make you very busy.
但是满心有喜乐。
But you're full of joy.
觉得生命有意义。
You have meaning life, meaningful.
所以我就开始研究但以理，花了五年。
So I spent 5 years studying the book of Daniel.
我为什么对但以理有这么兴趣呢？
Why is it I was so interested with Daniel?
因为我觉得但以理这个人的个性啊很了不起。
Because Daniel the man is such a supernatural person.
你看旧约的先知、旧约的这些英雄，从亚伯拉罕到过去大卫、扫罗，甚至耶利米，其他先知方面的话，没有一个人圣经描写的个性是像但以理这么完全。
Because you look all of the Bible's prophets and even those giants, the kings, then from Abraham, all these ancestral God used men, nobody was described in full picture or in the character as Daniel.
几乎在犹太人这个在灭国的时候，在巴比伦的时候最黑暗的时候，上帝要选一个知识分子、公务人员，像一个新的话发亮出来给大家看，说哎呀，这个人要来拯救帮助以色列国。
In the darkest moment when the country of Israelite was into captivity, in the darkest moment, God chose this man, the brightest star, to shine in his time.
你看但以理第一章的话，上他尼布甘尼撒王的话要选这个四个年轻人出来预备三年，后来在王宫里面来服侍他，选的什么？选的这么帅又漂亮条件好的年轻人出来，好学聪明而且懂得巴比伦文化的人。
You see, when you turn to chapter 1 of the book of Daniel, the king Nebuchadnezzar was looking for these four young persons who are not only intellectually bright and they are handsome and they have all the nice genes in them.
所以做心理医生的话，我要了解怎么人这个人的话，这个个性这么特别，我们怎么样来学习，怎么样了解。
As a clinical psychiatrist, I want to learn how special was Daniel, what was his innermost spirituality.
然后但以理特很里面很多议员有做梦。
And he has so many dreams that we could read from his book.
他的梦是很影响到世界的大局。
And all his dream is also influencing or affecting the happenings in the world.
我做精神病科医师的话，也很喜欢了解梦，所以对但以理这本书的梦对我也很大的吸引。
As a clinical psychiatrist, I'm also interested in studying dream, and so I'm very drawn to Daniel's the dream of Daniel.
但是我不是神学生。
But I'm not a seminarian theologian.
不像你们。
I'm not like you.Going to be a theologian.
我的神学的基础没有你们好。
My theological basis or training is not as good as you.
但是我告诉你，很多神学的教授对心理的话也不大懂。
But let me tell you, most of you theologians, you don't know also about psychology.
所以我就在我书上写了一句形容，我说啊，精神病科医师啊，好像失去他们的灵魂。
So,
the psychiatry lost its soul.
This is what I wrote in one sentence in my book.
因为我们的分析都在人体方面，不注意灵性，不注意灵魂。
Because we look at the human people, the humans, not the spiritual unseen side.
但是很多的这种圣经的学家教授的话， they lose their mind. 他失去了他们的精神。
But let me tell you, you biblical professor, theologians, you lose your mind.
因为他们很注重圣经的了解这一类的话，忘记说圣经里面很多的实际的心理辅导这方面的教训。
Because you look in depth into the biblical text, and you forget to look into the human side, the spiritual,
所以我到了加州2000年快退休的时候，我就在主面前祷告，主啊，你要用我在哪一方面来用我呢？我就决定说，我要把我的时间、我的精力奉献给主，特别在圣经人物方面来研究。
So in 2000, when I retired, I prayed to the Lord, Lord, How will you use me? Maybe you can use me as I delve more in the biblical characters, how their psychosocial spiritual. I want to study them.
人灵人魂体的话是不能够分开的。
We cannot divide the human soul, spirit, and body.
So 我选了一个人，就是丹尼尼，来分析研究他的心理跟灵性怎么样结合。
So I choose Daniel and see how integrate his psycho spiritual integration.
但是我花了三年把书写好以后给人家看，我很多人就说。你是精神病科，你写的这些，你像好像那神学生在写他的论文的样子的话，那你的心理的功课是什么呢？
So after 3 years, I finished my book and I let my friends take a look and then said, "You are a psychiatrist and you write from Daniel. It's like you are like a seminarian doing the dissertation or thesis. Where is the spiritual side? Where is the psychological side?"
所以就花了再花两年时间，把他的心理功课的话，收集了十大功课，今天要介绍给大家的话。
So I used 2 more years and I dig into 10 lessons we can learn from Daniel's psycho spirituality.
我今天的这个讲座的目的，第一就是要如何了解丹尼德的心理灵性，给他力量。
My purpose here today is have two. One is to understand how Daniel's psycho spirituality empowered him.
第二最重要的话，我们从但丽丽的生平里面学到了一个很重要功课。如果你要站在上帝这边，上帝一定会跟你站在一起。
The second purpose is most important because it says, if you want to stand on God's side, God will be on your side.
不必怕。
Fear not.
不必怕。
You don't need to fear.
所以我第一的我先要真讲到但丽丽这个有很多历史也很多文化的背景，然后所以我很简单的要介绍一下，但是我要给大家知道但丽有12篇，我们时间不够，我讲的到第六篇的你们的肚子会饿了，所以我要很快的话，但丽丽这方面的话，十二篇的话，用图画的话很容易介绍给大家。我注重的，我要下面那个10个功课。
In the book of Daniel is so rich in the culture and history, and if I were to deal one by one the 12th chapter, you would be hungry even when I come to the chapter 6. So let me use pictures to show you briefly and fly through the book of Daniel.
公元前两百年左右的话，以色列国灭国，然后被俘虏到巴比伦这个地方去。
We know that in about B.C. 200, the nation of Israel was captive into the Babylon, the Israel people.
那时候，但丽丽跟他的朋友。就被俘虏到巴比伦国。
Daniel and his friend were also among the captors. The captives.
Yeah. 这个很重要，这个图案，这个在书上我也写了。
This is in my book, the chart, the timeline.
从尼布甘尼撒王做王到他接下去北沙沙做王的话，这个巴比伦年代的话，至少有差不多70年，做耶利米先知预言的70年。以后他们要回归
from,
就是这70年年代
from the time Nebuchadnezzar reigned to the another one who came up the Belshazzar there are about 70 years in span which is predicted in the book of Jeremiah
所以但丽丽的侍奉至少是从605到536
so his span of ministry is like BC 605 to 536
我们知道巴比伦灭亡以后波斯王的第一个王他但丽还在那里做侍奉，所以在波斯王的时候，但丽还做官。
So in the downfall of Babylon and when Persia rise up, Daniel was still serving even in the first part of the Persian king.
然后这个画的给你们看，给我们看叫但丽有做有前六章的话，他的斗都是跟着国王跟外邦人在斗。所以前六章他写的东西，那时候从耶稣的语言叫 Aramaic， 因为他的对象是外邦人，不是用希伯来文写的话。
The first 6 chapters of Daniel Daniel was living among the foreigner, and he used Akkadian, Aramaic, which is the language of Jesus in dealing because it's with the foreign people.
后六章的话，写到犹太人跟世界的历史，就是犹太人这个整个世界 的地位跟这个历史到底怎么样演变，用他的意象 来形容出来。所以那对象是希伯来人，所以他写的话是用希伯来文来写。
And the following six chapter, his audience are the Hebrew people. He wrote about the future, the Israel, and also the nation, the whole world.
我把但以理书分成两大部分，第一个六章是但以理灵性客观的考验。
So I divide the book into two parts. The first part is objective trials of Daniel's spirituality.
因为他的对手是国王，是外邦人。
Because the one he's facing are foreign kings.
后面六章的话是他自己的意象，他写下来的话跟他的梦。所以我现在是主观的一种经验，也是一种的挑战。
And the later part is more subjective. His dream, his visions, and he's telling his people.
我们对但以理书你们都很熟，比我熟。第一章我们知道他但以理第一个考验什么？要不要吃东西啊
？His first test is what to eat.
国王说：“你要在我王宫被我训练，你要吃的最好的东西，喝最好的酒。”我送给你。
The king says you're in my palace. I'll train you eat my best food and drink.
吃得肥肥胖胖。
Eat as much as you can and eat.
三年以后再来侍奉我。
And after 3 years, you can serve me after 3 years.
但是但以理呢？但以理拒绝。
But
但以理拒绝不吃王给他的东西跟喝的药喝的酒。
But Daniel refused to eat those sumptuous meal from the king.
为什么呢
？Why？
因为这些祭物跟酒已经如果被献祭在偶像，然后再给他们吃的话，在摩西的律法之下的话，这是不洁净的东西。
Because Daniel know all this food has been offered to idol, and in the books of Mosaic law, these are unclean things.
不能吃的。
He cannot consume them.
犹太人说 ，This is not kosher.
Kosher. The Jews cannot eat them.
所以但以理拒绝。
It's unclean. He refused.
但是我告诉你，你要拒绝国王给你吃的东西，你要小心啊！你不跟尼撒王说，你不给我吃东西，你这个要捣蛋了，我就把你砍头。
But it is not easy to refuse the king's order. You'll be beheaded. The danger is that.
但是因为他的信仰。因为他要保持他的文化的背景，因为他要站在上帝那边的话，上帝保守他。他实验以后，你说给我们吃菜喝水，十天以后再跟别人比较看看怎么样。哇，原来他们吃菜、吃水啊、喝水的话，还比他们其他的人健康。
But because Daniel was determined to obey God, he said, "Give us a test, 10 days, and give us just plain." Veggie and water, and after 10 days, they're even healthier and good looking, more looking than the others.
兄弟姐妹，我们要知道，现在我们才要开始学习但以理的功课，不要学着他乱吃，吃油、吃盐、吃肥，这个肥肥胖胖的话，身体的话不能够送给做主的精兵。
So lesson one is to eat right, eat healthy, like Daniel.
第二个是但以理的你不能要解梦。你知道那时候但以理是年轻人，尼布甘尼做了一个梦，他醒起来，梦忘掉了。
Second test is the dream of this king. He dreamed and then he forgotten his dream.
但是他心里面很着急，很烦躁。
But he was bothered by the dream, the king, huh?
我说那个梦为什么不记得？那个梦很重要，因为我有不同的感觉。
Important dream, I feel different. The king was telling himself.
他叫所有的那些家臣，他的君臣有名望能够解梦的人，所有的人来，他告诉他一件事情：第一，告诉我昨天晚上做了什么梦。
So this king called all those intellectuals, the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers in his palace.
你要帮助我的记忆力。
He said, "Tell me what is."
第二，你要解释。
Second, you have to explain to me the dream.
你知道从创世以来到现在啊， 没有一个精神病科医师能够解梦，如果他不知道那个梦是什么。
In ancient, even up to now, nobody can explain a dream that that is not there, that he doesn't know.
你要解梦，你一定要知道梦是什么。
You must tell first tell me the dream, so I could start explaining.
但是这个君王啊，脾气太坏。
But this bad-tempered king.
他不接受说你不这个无理的事情，他不接受的。
He won't accept no.
你不告诉我。我就把人大家都杀头。
If you don't answer me, I'll behead you all.
但你也是知识分子，也是一个有一个就是能够在国王里面、王众里面的话，虽然他不在，但是他如果没有做没有什么动作的话，他也会被杀死。
Daniel is counted as one of the intellectuals, although he was not in that room, or he might also be one of them to behead.
他赶快回去跟他三个朋友祷告，你们知道结果了，就是这个梦。上帝他告诉他朋友，我们要不去祷告，求神怜悯我们的生命，救我们，给我知道王的梦。所以上帝夜间的话就借着异象给大卫里看到这个梦。
You know the whole story. He went to his three friends and they prayed hard for answers to this.The Nebuchadnezzar's king's dream.
再下来到云的时候
so the gold is the Babylon Empire and silver is Medo Persian.
然后希腊
The bronze is
Roma,
the Grecia, Macedonian.
然后还有个最后的世界末了的
一种的 Empires, one after the other.
一种的泥土跟铁混血的啊混合的那种一种的脚
Under the mixture of the feet of this Roman Empire.
然后最后有个大石头，不是人刻出来的哇，很大的一个山石头，把这个意象，这个像金像，把它全部毁坏，代表上帝要把人的历史灭绝，建立他的国。
And finally, this big rock was destroying this statue, so it means that God's hand kingdom would destroy all the human.
年轻的但利尼虽然他有学到这个解梦的练习在巴比伦，而且上帝给他那时候是很年轻，还没有被挑战过，没有解梦过，这个是第一个他成功了，所以他救了他的国家，救了他自己的生命，而且尼布甲尼撒王因为他能够这么有智慧，就给他封了个大官的职位。
So this young DanielThe first time he interpreted his dream and he was successful to save his own life and the people and the king was so pleased with him, he gave him the top honor.
第三章的话，但利不在里面，但是他三个朋友受到挑战。
Chapter 3, he was not there, but his three friends has been challenged, were challenged.
以我的了解，这个是间接的话，就是也是给但利一些挑战，他老的时候。有同样的一种的挑战，就是要不要拜这个国王。
Indirectly, this chapter 3 is also for him because when in the older later part, he has this challenge: Do I kneel down and worship this king or not?
为说信仰的缘故，但利的朋友愿意牺牲吗
？Because of their faith, true belief, would they be compromising?
他们愿意，所以被丢在火坑里面。
Or sacrifice for the faith?They were willing to be sacrificed for their faith.
那火坑里面本来有三个朋友嘛，三个人。这个国王看到有四个人，好，第一个像白色，好像是人子，所以上帝借着这个异象拯救了但利三个朋友，有一个人子跟他们在一起，也救了他们。
So in the fiery furnace, supposed to be three men, but the king saw four. So God used this vision and saved the three friends.
尼布甲尼撒王在国王啊，觉得很了不起，那个金头啊是我，然后就造了很大的高叫金的
像
这个偶像，叫人家都要拜，如果不拜的话，人家要被杀死。
King Nebuchadnezzar was so boastful, so he built this golden statue himself and wanted people to worship it.
有地位的人，我告诉你，
Those in high position,
不管是中国、是美国还是希腊古中金来的话，每次你拿到有权柄做大官的时候， 大家很容易在自我方面的话变成很骄傲。
Beware when you are put in a top position, no matter what culture you are, Chinese, American or any culture, you will easily be tempted to be boastful.
你不管一下，我梦到个大树。
So he dreamed, the king dreamed of the big tree.
他不明了。
He doesn't understand it.
哎，这次啊，他记得他梦的东西了，就叫丹尼来的时候，丹尼解释比较简单一点。
So he remembered his dream and he asked Daniel to come interpret.
丹尼说这大树就是你。
So Daniel says, you're the tree.
但是你做国王很多坏事，你对你的百姓不好好照顾的话，如果你不悔改啊，上帝要把你变成一个动物。
So Daniel says, you're the tree and you have so many evil things. If you don't repent, you will be a beast, turning you into a beast.
等于把你的大树用一个斧头把你砍下来。
There will be an axe to chop you off.
他这个国王啊，还是很固执。
Still, the king was so stubborn.
结果怎么样呢？
So finally,
他变成了疯子。
He became crazy, went crazy.
他犯了个疯子。
He was like
7年之间呢，他在外面活得像野兽一样。
For 7 years, he lived like a beast.
直到他谦卑悔改以后，才恢复他的王位。
Until he humbly repented and he regained his position back.
所以这个但尼给我们看到谦卑的功课。
So the lesson on humility is seen from Daniel.
尼布甲尼撒王死了以后，他的儿子北沙沙。接上位。
So after this king died, his son Belshazzar took the throne.
北沙沙那时候很了不起，请了1000个他的君王什么大臣呢，来一个宴会，在宴会中间把上帝耶路撒冷的圣殿里面的圣物拿出来给大家用。
And this new king was also boastful, and he invited 1,000 guests, and he took up all these things from the temple, cups and all this.
等于是亵渎耶和华的名字。
And he was really committing this sins of sinfulness against God.
上帝很不高兴。
God was not pleased with him.
因为他不像他国王，他明知故犯，他知道他的爸爸所做的事情。没有悔改变疯子的话，这个人他明知他会有这种不好的结果，他还去亵渎耶和华的名字，所以耶和华往那一天的话，有一个指头在墙壁上写了3个字。
So this king should have known what happened to his father when he turned into a crazy beast. He should have known what is right and wrong, but instead he was committing sins against God, and so God shown to him through the words written on the wall.
英文美国人外国人有一句话在形容说你的日子已经不多了，就是说 writing on the wall 就是从这里来。
There's a phrase that Americans use when they say your days are numbered. They would use this phrase writings on the wall.
所以那天晚上在国王被杀死。
That night the king was killed.
巴比伦灭国。
And Babylon became doomed.
好，第六点，在生命危险，面对生命危险时，要不要祷告
？So the sixth lesson, when you face your life in danger, would you pray or not pray anymore?
巴比伦灭亡以后，但尼尼那时候已经至少80几岁，做了波斯王。波斯王很欣赏这个人。
I think at that time Daniel is about 80 some years old. And the Persian king really appreciated this old king, old servant.
他的人格，
his
他的做事的态度，
the way
他的行为都没有漏洞。
His actions, there is nothing that they could pinpoint wrong against Daniel.
所以他国王要把他升至最等于是宰相的样子。
So the king want to give him a higher position next to him.
管一切的人。
To supervise everyone and beneath below the king.
所以波斯那些有知识分子的人很生气、很嫉妒，就设了一个计划来陷害但尼尼。
So the high officials in the Persian court envied Daniel, and they want to set a trap.
Yeah. 王啊，30天之内，你下一个命令不能够 向别的人祷告，只要向你祷告，好不好？
So they said a decree, said king, oh king, make a decree in 30 days, nobody should pray to anyone except to you only.
国王说，
不错呢。
Wow, the king feels so glad, happy.
命令就下去。
And he made this decree out.
乃知道，这样下去的话，要逼得丹利尼要不要30天之内的话向他的国王祷告还是向耶和华祷告。
This is now a threat or a challenge for Daniel. Would he pray to God or to this king in 30 days?
圣经说他丹利尼知道这件事情，回去到那房间，到他房二楼，开了窗道，向耶路撒冷的方向三次，经常三次，每天三次祷告。
The Bible told us, after Daniel listened to this decree, he went home, the second floor, opened his window, and continued to pray 3 times a day to God.
他要祷告，后面的人啊，间谍已经在等他了。
So those people who are envying him, waiting to catch him and to report to the king.
国王说，哎呀，老天啊。
And the king was
saddened. 我做了笨的事情啊。
How foolish am I to have this decree?
原来是这些奸臣都要害我忠心的仆人丹尼尼啊。我怎么办呢？
Yeah,
我可以收回我的命令吗？
Yeah,
不行，一言出事满满难追。
But he could not hold back his decree anymore.
所以怎么样呢？他就把它丢在尸坑里面。
So as the decree ordered, they have to throw Daniel into the dens of the lions.
我问你这个话有什么不对？
What's wrong with these words?
啊？
What is wrong with this picture?
丹尼尼这个是大概几岁啊？
How old should Daniel be looking then? Huh? What is wrong with this picture?
画这个画的人啊，没有念圣经啊。
The person who drew this didn't read the Bible. Daniel should be not as young.
丹尼尼那时候被丢在尸坑里面是老人了，不是少年人了。
He should be an old man.
你是波斯王的时候，
and in the,
所以应当画的这个画不会那么年轻了。
They should draw him a little bit older in the 80s, no? Because in the Persian time he is already in the 80s.
所以你要画画，你要念圣经啊。
So before you have any, you draw anything, read the Bible first.
Okay, 很快的话。我们下六章都就他的主观的考验。
So we go to the second part, the trials of Daniel's spirituality.
很简单，这六章的话很多的，我很快的过去，但是我要给到这给注意他的主题。
Quickly, we will run through this last part, but I'll give you this theme.
第四章有四个大兽。
In the
代表四个朝代跟以后的话。末世的一个很可怕的野兽。
Yeah. It points to the end of time. The scary beast would be there.
第八章有一个绵羊跟山羊，就是形容波斯那时候亚历山大将军的话，怎么很快的话征服了波斯。
So it says the vision of a ram and a goat is how quickly Greece under Alexander the Great would destroyed Persia.
你说亚历山大这个人，如果念历史有兴趣的，你去看看这个人呢、啊，将军了不起，他是打仗啊，是前锋的，他是前锋，他不是将军在后面说哦，你这小兵先打，他是带他的兵啊，冲的哇、啊，所以打得很快很凶。
If you study the life of Alexander the Great, he would be in the forefront when he entered a battle or fight. He would not be behind, no, he would be leading his troop. Yeah.And very fiercely.
你知道他有四个将军，亚历山大四个将军。
He has 4 generals.
亚历山大33岁就死掉了，很可惜。
He died at the age of 33.
但是他将军每一个将军就占了一个地盘，每个人一个地盘。总要影响以色列的话，就是这个将军Ptolemy 跟其另外一个将军这里，因为他们又继续在斗。
So the 4 generals each took up or they won lands and then one of the Ptolemy is the one who was also dealing with the country of Israel.
大卫是国王第一年的话，丹尼尼看了耶利米的书知道啊，70年已经到了，回归的时候到了，我要为着以色列，为着犹大，迫切的祷告。给犹太人能够回国去建他们的圣殿。
So in the first year of Darius, Daniel have read the book of Jeremiah. He said, 70 years have come. I now have to call the people to return to Israel.
所以那个77个的那个意象就是在这第九章里面。
So that 70, the vision is also starting from chapter 9.
这数目有它的代表性。
And those figures have important meaning.
所以啊，如果你要知道一个有属灵的人怎么样迫切的祷告，你念但以理书，看他怎么样祷告。哇哇，神啊，为着你的名字，你要怎么样，你要怎么样。他是迫切的祷告。
If you want to look into how a spiritual man pray to God, you can go into Daniel and see how much he pray to God. Oh Lord, for glory, for glory, Lord.
你要知道一个人的灵性高超到那个地方，到那个地步，要知道一个人的灵性跟上帝的关系多密切的话，你相当你得学习。
If you want to see how the level of a person spiritually can be attained, you can learn from Daniel.
你没有这种经验，你祷告没有完的时候，上帝已经赐给你你所要祷告的事情。
Have you had this experience? Even before your prayer ended, God already put the answer before you.
当你还没有结束祷告，上帝已经差遣天使叫百列跟他讲，但以理啊，你的脚上祷告，上帝已经应许你了。
So it happened to Daniel. Even before he ended his fasting prayer, God sent the angel to tell him God have answered your prayer.
最近在上旧金山的话，亚洲的那个博物馆有一个展览，里面有这个东西叫做居里斯的原著。
Lately in the museum in San Francisco, there is this Cyprus cylinder display in the museum.
这是从这个伊拉克那里都挖出来的。
They dig it out from the Iraq.
里面有写关于说我国王怎么样允许我的百姓就俘虏回归的事情。
It talk about how this King Cyprus let the Israel people go back to the country.
我告诉你。
Let me tell you.
这个东西虽然小小，这个是联合539年，是白沙沙被杀死那年。这个是联合历史性的事情，跟圣经的一个根据，一个证据。
You may say, oh, this thing displayed there is such a small, but this is a very unique thing that connect the year that King Belshazzar died, 539, to the whole happenings in the world.
里面刻的字都是当时时代用 Akkadian 的那个刻的字出来的。
The words are in Akkadian, craft in Akkadian, and then it connects what is true in the biblical world.
证明说但以理这本书啊是有真实历史上的根据。
It attests to the reality, the authenticity of the book of Daniel.
后来十章到十二章就形容南北那个国王亚历山大将军打仗的情形。到了十二章，上帝就差遣天使告诉说，但以理啊，你不要再把你的意象再写下去，这样就够了。
So the last three chapters we saw more visions that Daniel got, and then at the last chapter God says enough, you don't have to write any more visions.
我在看但以理在分析这本书时，我觉得很头痛。
As I deciphered this book, Daniel, I had a headache, you know.
前六章我们看到但以理向着国王都要就势力的那种挑战的是多么有勇敢，多么有力气，多么有能力，多么大胆。
I see how Daniel faced the forces from the foreign king. He was so brave in facing them.
你看后六章但以理的反应差点要死，接到异象，他写下来，他的情绪的表现好像大病的样子，有时候也受到异象以后快要死。
And for the following six chapter, when he was faced of his people and the vision for the whole world, he seems to be so weakened and he almost fainted. He was so weak emotionally and psychologically.
所以我很不了解，我说这个怎么样？ 一个这么有能力的人，一个变成没有能力的人。
I was trying to understand.
到底圣经的启示是什么呢
？What was God telling us, revealing to us from a very strong, fearful person against these foreign forces, and into a person so weak?
后来我想到了一个解释。
Finally, God gave me this explanation.
我要告诉你们坐在后面的教授哈，这是我个人的意
见。Beloved professors.Let me tell you my personal insight.
可能你们解经的话看法的话跟我不一样，我抱歉，向你们道抱歉，但是我要告诉你我的想法。
I'm sorry, or I'm really sorry if I make my perspective is so different from you biblical theologians, professors.
但你六章是在干什么呢
？What was Daniel doing in the last six chapters?
主要是他接受上帝要给他的。梦跟他的意象，向做先知向世界的人来表达上帝的意思。
Because when he have this vision personally from God himself, and he had to explain, announce all this to his people to understand.
如果今天上帝要使用你，借助你的梦，借助你的意象来表达他的意思，你会怎么样反应呢
？If today God use you.Your personal dream, and use your dream to proclaim a message for the whole nation or the whole world. How would you respond?
如果我倒会怕死。
For me, I'll be very fearful to death.
而且怎么样呢？那个影响力的话，他看到这个世界大局，有时候会影响到，哎呀，我的国王可能会死掉，以色列国怎么样？没有有灾难来的话，事件的话，都他这个景色。是没有普通人一个人的话能够接受容易接受的一种的经验。
Please understand such prophetical vision that involved my king, my nation, my people, and even the whole world. How can I be the one to carry this burden?
但你不是只得到一个意象，好几个意象。
He not only have one prophetical vision.
每个意象比一个意象更深。
He has.More than one vision, and every vision gets bigger and more heavier and greater.
如果你是他的话，我想可能早你就放弃了。
If you were Daniel, maybe you would give up.
但是为什么要知道上帝的旨意？这个家伙禁食了三个星期，为什么得到上帝的意象
？But because.This person didn't want to pursue God's will. He remained. He prayed, fasting 3 weeks, and he was able to catch this vision from the Lord.
从这方面，我就得到一个启示。但利利这个人呢，为主要做上帝的传递人，上帝的旨意、上帝的意向、上帝的旨意的传递人，愿意接受心理上的负担。
So, I see through this insight because Daniel was willing to be used by God as his messenger, as a prophet for the global coming world. He was willing to undergo emotional, psychological, inner pain and burden to carry this burden out.
这个就是我个人从丹尼这个人顺服到这个地步给我很大鼓励的功课他很谦卑愿意做上帝的器皿
So I see how submissive Daniel was even to sacrifice his own wellness mind, body and soul
很快的十大功课第一
So 10 lessons from Daniel
你怎么样现在的我没想到说在这个世纪从吃的那方面讲我从来我在菲律宾我家里是很穷的我念书都没钱的我几乎没有如果没有人帮助我学费的我根本没有办法念书的
Looking at the food, you know, I remember my younger days when I was small, we were poor. I have no money to go to school. If nobody helped me with my tuition, I cannot finish my school.
常常饿肚子去上课
I go hungry going to school. I'm empty stomach.
但是没有想到五六十年以后的话，我的问题啊不是东西没有东西吃了。
I didn't know that after 50 or 60 years, my problem is not having no food.
现在的问题啊，是什么样拒绝东西吃才不会胖。
Today we have to refuse food so that we will not go overweight.
不会大肚皮。
And not to have bulky stomach.
不会高血压。
And no high blood pressure.
不会糖尿病。
And no
不会我肚皮我身体都要衰弱下来。
And not to weaken my body with too much food, no? Too much.
所以现在在美国，连大陆现在胖的人越来越多了。
And now in America and even in China, many people are stout.
为什么呢？
Why?
因为没有能力说我不要，不是我要，我不要的 power to say no.
They have no power to say no to food.
你要怎么样拒绝呢？
How do you refuse food?
很难。
It's hard.
如果你抽烟，
If you are a smoker,
你酒精中毒。
Or are you addictive to wine?
你要戒这种坏习惯是很难，我很体贴，因为我遇过很多这种人。
Stop this bad habits. It's hard to stop.
但是我要给大家知道，是说我们要在属灵里面得到力量，怎么样来呢？
Yet we have that spiritual power, but how do you have that spiritual power?
这个是基督耶稣的心。
This is.Represent the mind of Christ.
这是老亚当的心。
The other is the old Adam.
这是新亚当。
The new Adam. We are.
这是有意志的头脑。
This is our conscious mind.
这个是我们的潜意识的头脑。
We have another unconscious mind.
如果你不懂你的潜意识。
If you don't understand unconscious mind.
你会以为你做很多事情的话是你的有意志的头脑。在决定，但是如果你不懂得潜意识，常常会出毛病。
You thought everything you did is gone through your conscious mind, but actually it's not.
So, 第一要知道潜意识的存在。
So first you have to understand and see clearly there is an unconscious mind.
老亚当就是这样，就很多潜意识的事情，不但你的情欲、你的坏脾气、你很多性格上的问题，跟你的潜意识都有关系。如果你不应付的话，等于是说你老亚当的话还没有死。
If you have still have your old habits or behavior, that means your old Adam is still active because your unconscious mind is governing it.
Yeah, 如果有意志的话，
But、
你就变成一个很有结合性格结合的人。
If you align your mind with Christ, you'll become an integrated person.
我们做精神病医科，在我那时候六十年时代的话，要做精神病科，要心理分析，躺在那里，像 Freud 的话来心理分析。我经过了三个半年的时间，
course,
一星期四小时，每天四天，每次一小时，躺在那里心理分析。
In the course of my practice of my psychiatry in the early 60s, we have to undergo psychoanalysis, and I have gone through three and a half years.
做基督徒的我一点害怕。
As a Christian, I was scared.
我怕我把我的上帝分析掉。
I'm afraid I will decipher out God.
因为啊 ，Freud 这个人啊，福尔德这个人啊，不相信宗教，那宗教。像这个马克思思想的话，是人民的鸦片。
Because Freud himself does not believe in religion.
那我要被骗吗
？No. So would I also say that religion?
我挣扎很久。
Deceive me? No.
但是主要我告诉你，不要对这种知识的话有偏见。
I struggle, but I will tell you, do not.
我妈妈去美国以后，两年以后去世。
When I was in America for 2 years, my mom died.
我心里很多的忧伤没有办法解决。
I have so many pain and grief I could not release.
是经过心理分析的我来释放。
With this psychoanalysis, my inner grief was released.
但主要都还是我不了解潜意识一些事情来影响我。
I have God in my mind. I didn't let go of God, but I didn't understand there is an unconscious mind.
所以这个步骤给我释放。
So this process released me.
后来我了解，这个是脑的潜意识事情，跟属灵的事情根本不冲突。
So I now understand this unconsciousness.
所以不但这样，我后来了解这一点以后，我能够结合我的潜意识、我的意识跟死灵的知识，把它粘在一起的话，变成有能够得到能力。
There is really no conflict to integrate spiritual mind and then your own conscious mind and the unconscious mind. They are not in conflict. We have know that they exist.
你要基督的心在你的心吗？基督的心、基督的脑、基督的精神，要对付的话，要对付我们整个人的个性，不只是一方面的。
So the mind of Christ that we get when we believe in Christ, it is to work with our mind, not only the conscious mind, the unconscious, the spiritual, the emotional, the psychological aspect.
不然我们很多信息这里听进去，这里出来，有时候停在中间，对我们的生命一点影响力都没有。
If not, no matter how good the message you're hearing during sermon, it comes to one ear and out because it's never digest out in this person.
你们图书馆里面一定有 Rick Warren 的书 The Purpose Driven Life.
I believe you have this book from Rick Warren, The Purpose Driven Life.
他是很出名的传道人，在美国也是世界的话，
famous,
但是你看他的身体啊，有一点啊不苗条。
As a famous preacher in America, but the body is not too.
他被但理这句话感动，但理不吃完的东西啊，他就决心啊，说他要减胖。
His figure is not balanced. So when he heard from the book of Daniel about eating right,
在美国加州的那南加州劝他的会友，我们大家一起来减胖，一起来健康，为着健康的缘故，为着神的缘故，我们要减肥。
He exhorts all his members to live right, eat right, stay right for the Lord.
他还写了本书叫做《但理的书》。
He even have a booklet called The Plan from Daniel.
怎么样成功呢？
How to connect for success?
与他人连接。
You have to connect with people.
依靠神的力量。
Rely on God's power.
吃美好的东西，
eat
不要乱吃。要运动。
And move your body to be healthy.
思想要清脆，更聪明。
Think smarter and sharper.
然后要医治生，我们的生活要有治疗的生活。
And we have a healing life.
结果怎么样？
Finally,
全部他的会友掉了26万的磅。
Result.All his members together, collectively, they have lost 260,000 pounds. And he himself lost 55 pounds. And he needs 35 pounds to be in the normal range.
他就跟人家开玩笑啊，是说我们啊，我们的目的还要增加两倍，把所有油啊放在星球上面了，把它砰寄到星球里面，给它化掉在天空里面。
He even jokingly says all our fats we have to energize it up to the space, you know.
他的力量从哪里来呢？
Where does his strength come from?
相信神的话。
He believe in God's word.
做去做。
And act on it.
他就得到利益。
So he was benefited himself.
第二个功课就是梦的力量。
The second lesson is the power of dream.
你要知道梦是你真正的朋友。
Know that your dream is your true friend.
我不是要劝大家乱解梦。
I don't want you to keep interpreting dream now.
希望你们以后毕业以后回去还是什么地方侍奉的话，不要乱解梦。因为要解梦要有特别的知识。
When you go back home, do not interpret dream by yourself. You have to interpret like Daniel.
但是很显明的话，上帝借着梦启示人。
But it's clearly that God used dream to speak to people.
这雅各的梦就天梯有天使上上下下的
话。Jacob's dream on the ladder.
这是雅各的梦。
The ladder.
但是梦在那里，神跟人接触地方在那里呢，就在潜意识里面。
Where did man and God connect in the dream?In your unconsciousness.
第三，信仰的力量。
And the power of belief or faith.
但你得很相信神。
Daniel believed in God.
我们脑里面也有一个三位一体。
Inside our brain, the structure, there are also three in one. There's like a trinity there.
这是我们的脑。
That's our brain, how it looks like.
如果我拿这样从中间切下去，把它分开过来
给你们看。If you divide by it through the middle and then look at the inside,
这是小脑，这是前脑，这是后脑。
This is
这是小脑。
The three parts of the brain.
脑上面这边的话，脑的内部的话，内侧面的话。
Inside the part.
这个很重要，以后的话你要注意。要写人形容一个人信仰的问题跟这里有关系。
The front part, yeah, it is, yeah, describing the faith of a person. Yeah.
然后我们的情绪脑在这里。
And the emotional part, the limbic part, yeah, that control the emotions.
然后我们有些地方的话是管我们的行动的话。
And there are other parts that control, yeah, our actions, behavior.
这个问题是怎么样呢？
What is the problem here?
就是说我们常常我们啊，特别年轻人。
Young people.
年轻人的话很爱做事，
you like
吸毒了、
action,
抽烟的话，
like、try new things.
情绪的话很冲动。
Emotions are very full of energy.
上面这个管理的话，这个、管理的机构的话有点弱。
The supervisory part is kind of weak for young people.
出毛病。
They will have problem there. They don't know how to weigh the.
所以你教养小孩，你不要打人，不要什么的话，你在灌输思想在这里。
So if you tell him not to all the rules, you're.
这个三部分的话要结合才有得到有能力。
But these three aspects should be integrated to become powerful.
我今天只是要介绍给你们，要注意脑里面，因为现在很多新的科学的知识给我们明了信仰的问题。
I just want you to know that now, because of the study of brain, they can even see how our faith is seen in the brain. The fourth is the humility lesson.
你要谦卑，是等于是说你要给人跟上帝来尊重。
If you want to be humble, that you also be esteemed by God and men.
但是谦卑、自卑跟骄傲虽然很有关系，是不一样的。
But low esteem and pride and narcissism are different.
很多人啊有自卑感。
Some people have that low image.
Self
pity.
你碰到他了，
so self pity and they're so look at self very low, you know.
你要不要吃这东西啊？不好意思，
I'm so shameful it. No.
很自卑感，没有自信。
Some people have self pity and no faith. That's better.
但是太谦卑的我很小心。
If you have too much self pity, be careful.
因为我看到很多人很谦卑的话，只是很自傲。
Actually, I see people they're so self.Pity, but actually they are pride inside.
用犹太人，我多属灵啊！我在街头上祷告啊。
They have pride inside. They said, "See how spiritual I am. I pray on the street."
那个不是谦卑，那个是骄傲。
That is not really self-pity
or. 有一种毛病更厉害，对吧？
The most dangerous is going to be a.
叫做 narcissistic personality disorder. 你们要怎么翻译呢？
自恋。
就是自我太重的一种的行为上的病态。
This is the kind of personal disorder, narcissistic, loving self most.
这种人走的话，你可以闻到他鼻子的味道。
You can even smell his the smell from coming from his nostrils.
他胸部好像有一个翅膀都会飞起来的。
As if he has wing, he will fly around.
骄傲的要命，我，你讲话都是我。
He's too proud. Everything he will say, I, so many I.
到了地步，像尼布卡利撒王，你不听我的话，你就是不对。
Like King Nebuchadnezzar, if you don't obey me, you are wrong.
这种心理的已经变态了。
This is a kind of personal disorder.
要来找我。
And also,
因为你靠祷告可能还不够。
If you just pray, it would not.
你劝他，他根本不听。
If you advise him or exhort him, he wouldn't listen.
要怎么医治这种人呢？
How do you heal this kind of person?
可能是被碰到关头的话，逼上梁山的时候，要被关起来、被抓起来，然后就被打的话，才送到医院里面来找我们。
Maybe he have to meet his own trouble and get into trouble and maybe be hospitalized and then he will see me.
第五个功夫是祷告的力量。
The fifth lesson is the power of prayer.
以我来看呢，怎么祷告是怎么用处呢
？What's the use of prayer?
你要怎么样感动上帝的心呢
？How do you touch God's heart?
因为祷告是把我们带到上帝的面前。
Prayers bring us before God.
是通天通到上帝宝座前的王道。
It moves us to the throne of grace.
但你得懂得怎么用。
Daniel know how you to use this channel of prayer.
第六个课，重新定义的力量。
So this is the sixth lesson.
Power to accept suffering.
Power to accept the suffering.
我们很多人，你在服事的时候碰到很多人有病伤、有病痛，你怎么样去安慰这些人呢
？As you minister in the church, or you see many people suffering pain, how do you comfort them?
有一个研究，一堆的尼姑啊，他们啊，在这个尼姑院里面呢、啊，很就有主伤。
There is a study of nuns when they were undergoing grieving.
他们的问题现象跟精神病的这忧郁感是一模一样。
The way they were in pain and grieving.
但是他没有看精神病科医师。
They didn't go to psychiatrists or clinical psychologists.
他们形容他们的经验是这个精神的经验，用怎么来经验呢？叫做 the dark night of the soul.
They describe how they were feeling during the grieving is the word the dark night of the soul, 心灵的黑暗。
他是用神的眼光。从属灵的眼光看他们的情绪上的一些的挑战。
These nuns were looking at their emotional stress using the spiritual lens.
最后怎么样？他接受，他明了有神有美好的旨意给他们有这种病痛。
Finally, they come to acceptance state that God allowed them to go through this suffering.
能够接受以后，就变成有解脱。
And as they came to embrace their own pain,
他就从这忧郁症那里跳出来。
They can be released free from depression.
不必吃药。
No need of
也不必电
治疗。Medicine and no electronic healing.
也不必心理辅导。
No need of therapy.
那我不是叫你们说要给我们精神病科事业哈。
I'm not saying you should push us out of job.
但是有些问题的话，需要专科医师来帮忙。但是有些事情轻微的话，用属灵的方法去应付的话，也是有效。
Some illness, emotional, can be used. If they are not too severe, you can use prayer. But there are some in severity level, we have to find professionals help.
Elizabeth Edwards 是美国总统的候选人的一个太太。
Elizabeth Edwards is
她的丈夫叫做 John Edwards。
The presidential candidate, no? Her husband is John Edwards.
长得很帅。
The wife of John Edwards. Very handsome.
后来就跟他的同事发生关系。
And he had an affair. The husband had an affair.
他的太太是 Elizabeth.
This wife, Elizabeth.
那时候在竞选总统时候，他这个人带身体带病，有癌症。
During the candidacy for presidential.
为什么他的丈夫缘故的话，他愿意出来跟他竞选？
He was supporting her husband, even though she has cancer.
谁知道她后面她的丈夫在做鬼。
She was supporting her husband, yet the husband has affair.
后来她发现了，后来她失败，没有被选上，还好没有被选上。她发现了，然后不久就死掉了。
She found out, and then of it's good that the husband was not elected, and then finally she died of cancer.
她写了一本书叫做《弹性》（Resilience）。
She wrote a book, The Power of Resilience.
是什么意思呢
？What's the meaning？
你橡皮的话，你拉起来。
You know the rubber band, you stretch it.
放下之后就再连起来，是不是
？You stretch the rubber and then you let go and it come back. It's resilient.
我们的个性，我们的应付的事情，就要像弹性。不要拉得太长的，我们就断掉。
How we face problem,
恢复起来。
We should have that elasticity, no? Don't stretch too far.
就是弹性跟希望的力量。
She wrote The Power of Resilience and Hope.
Elizabeth 就是代表。
And she is a
她写了个句，她说我经过很多风波，目的怎么样呢？我要给我的子孙知道说 ，I tried my best. 也的我虽然经过很多的 生命上的挑战，但是我尽我的力量来克服。
She wrote because she said, I purpose to let my descendants, children learn that I did my best and I overcome.
怎么样得到超越跟转化行动的力量呢？
How do we have this transcending and transforming actions?
爱心。
We must use the power of love.
基督教的特征就是有爱心的宗教。
The uniqueness of Christianity is agape love.
这个小孩子是名叫做 Ahmed Khatib.
This child's name is Ahmed Khatib.
他是一个巴勒斯坦的小孩子。
A Palestinian boy.
巴勒斯坦跟犹太人啊打来打去吵架的时候，他拿那个假枪在那里在玩。
Oh, when the war was going between the Palestinians and the Jews, he has a fake a play gun. He was playing it with a gun.
以色列军队以为他是真枪。
The Israeli soldiers thought he had a true gun. 就把他杀死。So they killed him.
杀死又怎么办呢
？Afterwards.
他的父母亲做了一个很特殊的形式，
因为
那时候有很多人病了，需要，因为他年轻人很多胃了什么肺了肝了什么的，需要在移植这个器官，就是 transplant organ transplant 需要这种的东西的话
，The parents did uniquely. They preserved all his organs because people need transplant.
他的父母亲就把他小孩子的这些器官呢、啊，送给一些犹太病人。
And the parents donated all these organs to the Jewish patients.
等于把他小孩子生命时候留下来的遗址送给他的敌人的病人。
It's like sharing the child's organ to their enemy.
这件事情的话，轰动了以色列跟巴黎，暂时轰动了以色列跟。跟巴勒斯坦的人
caused a big wave between these two nations.
虽然暂时他们的打算好像暂时停战，来赞美这个人、这个家庭爱心的表现。
At one point, they stopped the war to praise this couple for their generosity.
耶稣说：“你要爱你的敌人。”
Jesus said, "Love your enemy."
这个小孩子不定是基督徒，他父母亲可能也不是基督徒。
They may not be Christians.
但是他能够做到一个为着爱牺牲的动作。
But they could do that agape love.
主耶稣说：“你爱，你要爱你的敌人。”
Jesus told us to love our enemies.
第九个功课给我们学习的是当立立长寿的功课。
So this the ninth lesson is telling us how to live long life.
这是我们的基因。
This is our genes.
前面有两个红点。
At the tip there are two red dots.
这两个红点不是基因的眼睛啊。
Not the eye of the genes, no. It's a kind of chemical.
这两个红点我们叫做端酶。
It's called telomere or telomeres.
英文叫 telomere.
Telomere.
这基因的长短啊，是要靠端酶来控制。
The length of this gene is controlled by this red dot.
你的基因，你的端酶长的话，你的基因长，你的细胞就活得久，你生命也比较久。
The longer gene, then you will have longer life.
所以我们现在有办法断定一个人的细胞的生命，只要来测验这个端酶端粒的长短。
So by measuring this telomere and the telomeres, they could predict your lifespan.
但是这个端粒的话，要受到端粒酶的影响。
But this the length of this telomere is controlled by the
dot. 一种化学作用。
It's a chemical reaction.
所以端粒酶的话是来影响端粒。
So there are this chemical would influence the length of this genes.
美国我们教大学的话1909年的话拿到诺贝尔奖金的话，这位 Blackburn 的博士就是研究这个端粒的。
The prize winner Blackburn, she's a scientist, she has research on this telomere thing.
那这个怎么样跟我们灵性什么关系呢？
How do you connect it with our spirituality?
因为端粒酶会被我们紧张的那个荷尔蒙荷德松影响， 你的可得松很高的话，紧张的话，你身体的可得松很高的话，会影响到你的端粒酶，也影响你的端粒，也影响到基因的生命。
The part of the gene, the telomere, would be affected by the level of stress that we are undergoing, because some kind of chemical hormones would affect its length.
紧张的人跟不紧张的人的比较，不紧张的端粒酶跟端粒的话比较长。
So if you are stressful or not stressful, they have different length of gene.
灵性能够使一个人不紧张。
And if you control, if good spirituality, you would be able to control the stressful life.
关教就在这里。
This is the main thing.
耶稣说你把重担都归给我，交托给我。
You lay your burdens on me.
这个是很大的安慰的一句话。
What a comfort from Jesus himself.
我们能够有一位的主，我们把我们重担递给他。
We have a Savior who is ready to carry our burden.
不必担当，保罗说一天的事情，耶稣也这样说，一天的事情担当够了。
Every day have his own burden, that's enough.
明天的明天的事情。
Let tomorrow worry about itself.
你不要忧虑明天的事情太多。
So don't worry about too much.
集中应付你当天的事情。
Just worry for today.
这种的已经有很多的医学的尝试，给我们看到，在祷告、在静默 meditation， 还是说我们念经的时候，我们可以静下来，能够帮助我们减少我们的紧张的压力。
Research has studied and tell us.By meditating God's word, by reading, by quiet meditation, you could also lower your stress level.
我们要长寿吗?
Do you want to live long life?
好好的灵修、祷告、静思。
Do your devotional regularly and meditate on God's word each day.
最后一个功课。
And the last lesson.
怎么样有心理上的预备来应付将来的世界的末日的情况呢?
How do you have that emotional preparedness to face the coming end time?
我们知道在末世很多假先知出来，哎呀，世界末日，末夜末日，末夜要到的话，人家骗了多少钱。
So many false prophets coming out and saying this, the last day would come on that
which day. 但是主耶稣在马太福音里面清清楚楚地告诉我们要怎么来预备应付将来世界末日的情况。
Jesus tells us
clearly, 都是要心理上的预备。
In Matthew, how to have this emotional preparedness for the end time?
我现在没有时间讲，但是我书上里面有稍微写出来，就是说耶稣基督的建议。
So in my book, I have those suggestions from Matthew.
所以关于但立的心理容量的要点是什么？第一，但立你向我们表现。神如何使用一个知识分子、公务人员来完成神的旨意
？Daniel show us how God can use an intellectual person to fulfill His will.
第二，上帝但立里证明说上帝是控制人类的命运。
Daniel testify to us that God is in control our human destiny.
但立里激发我们，如果我们愿意服从上帝。上帝将会使用我们。
He inspires us. If you are willing to be used by God, He will use us. If you are willing to obey Him.
谢谢。
Thank you.